This is the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It's Sunday night. Welcome to the Dating and Relationship Show, where we dive into the ups and downs of modern dating and relationships. I'm your host, Laura Bellotta, matchmaker and founder of singleinthecity.ca. I'm a dating coach too, guys. Now, today I have a special guest joining me to chat about the current dating landscape. My very good friend, Josh. He's a luxury realtor in the Greater Toronto area. He's got so much personality. All the gals love him. He's currently single and active in the dating scene, and he has a lot of insight. And we're going to be discussing a range of topics today, including long-distance relationships, because we've both been in one. We give you a lot of insight into that, the evolving dating landscape in general, first date preferences, hot date spots in Toronto, and so much more. You guys don't want to miss the show. So stay tuned, guys, as we explore the exciting world of dating with my friend, Josh. Welcome, Josh. I'm so glad you're here. Yay!
I'm so happy to be here, Laura. Thanks for having me. What an honor it is to do the show with you.
I don't know why I didn't ask you before. Dee says to me, why don't you, Dee's my assistant, by the way, I love her. She says, why don't you ask Josh? I said, you know what? That's a great idea, because I needed a guest. I was like, Josh would be perfect for this. So
absolutely. I mean, better late than never, Laura.
Exactly. You know, okay, so let's start with, we have to start somewhere. Between the two of us, we can, I don't know, we can start anywhere, but we're going to start with long distance relationships, because both of us have been in one, and we know that long distance relationships can be challenging, but they also offer unique experiences and connections. And Josh, you were in a long distance relationship last year. You met a girl from the States, and you guys dated. I think she's in Florida, I'm not sure, or California, something like that, or she was. How did you make the decision to give dating like long distance a try?
You know, Laura, I wish I could tell you that it was a conscious decision. Yes, I'm going to try my hand at long distance relationships, but that simply wasn't the case. I actually kind of fell into it. I invited her on a bit of a trip. I wanted to, you know, see if we vibed or not. And I was relatively open to it, but I wasn't sold on it. Once we met and we vibed, it was just the feelings took over and the rest was purely emotional decision. So it was never really a conscious decision on that.
And what did you value the most about a long distance relationship, if you did? Like, I mean, because, you know, it does have its set of challenges, you know, but what did you value most about it, would you say?
Yeah, if I had to choose one thing with that specific relationship, it was that we got a little bit of time to miss each other, right? We're not always crowding each other. It gives you a little bit of time to be like, hey, I actually miss this human being. I kind of want them around me again. So that would be like the main thing for me. But also what I recognize is, Laura, like when you're in a long distance relationship, if it's healthy or unhealthy, you can pretty much see it right away because you can feel that, right? If it's not healthy, then typically you feel like you don't have trust with that person. Like, what are they doing when I'm not there? You have all these, you know, insecurities that may pop out. But when you're healthy, when you're in a healthy relationship and you're very secure within that relationship, then a lot of those things, they are, you see them as more valuable than liabilities.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that I love all that you said there, and we'll get into the trust thing in a little bit, but, you know, the one thing that I really valued and appreciated about my long distance relationship was the independence part. And that I was still able to work on my own personal growth and goals. I was at that time, which was many years ago, I was building my business Single in the City. And I felt like I needed that time to myself to do that. Because, you know, let's face it, right? When things get serious and then you start spending all this time together, and then, you know, the honeymoon phase tends to dwindle, you may start noticing that you want to spend less time with them. You know, you almost need that space to do the things that you really need to do. But at that point, when you've already been committing to spending so much time together, it can be a tough conversation to have. Like, you know, having that conversation like, hey, baby, you know, I'm wondering if maybe you can stay at your place tonight. I have a lot of things going on. And in a relationship where you're so used to sleeping over every night, the partner may feel or, you know, or hear differently. They may be thinking, oh, you know, she or he, they're tired of me, or they want to explore other relationships because it's not typically what you do. I mean, this is what happens, especially if there's a bit of that insecurity going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that as well. When it's kind of like you can see the crack in the windshield when you're in that long distance relationship. It really puts things to the test a little bit sooner than it would if you're more local, right? Yeah. I feel like if you can survive that initial, like, let's call it 6 months, I mean, you probably know this better than me, but there's that period where the honeymoon phase kind of wears off and you realize, hey, I got to put some effort and some work into this relationship. It's not going to be easy. After that period kind of ends and you're into the thick of it, when you're in a long distance relationship, I feel like that comes a little bit sooner. I could be wrong, but that's how I felt, at least in my last relationship.
Well, hey, I mean, there's really no right or wrong. It's different. Yeah, everybody's journey looks differently. For myself, mine, I didn't really know until I think the third year when I decided to actually move in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that people, you know, sometimes they present themselves differently, mm-hmm. but that idolized version might not reflect the reality of their day-to-day life. You may think that you know them, but there's still a lot to know. So that's what happened with me. Because we would only see each other on the weekends, and it would be every second weekend. So I would go there, travel there every second weekend, and he would come to Canada because we crossed borders, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, Josh, too, like, open and honest communication is so important in long-distance relationships. I think it's, you got to ask questions.
Yes.
A lot of them. You have to share details about your daily lives. You have to try to understand each other's environments. And when you are with each other, you know, like, do things, you know, ask, let's do something that you would typically do on the weekend. You know, I want to, yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you raised a really good point here, Laura, as you normally do. But, like, I started that relationship in kind of a weird way where it wasn't the everyday life that we were experiencing when we first kind of met. It was more like every time we met up, it was like a grand, you know, there was something larger than life about those mm-hmm. little meetups that we'd have, right? So, and that's not normal. That's not real life, right?
But I don't think you guys ever left the honeymoon stage, Josh.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
You never left the honeymoon stage because I felt like in that relationship, you were always kind of still chasing her a little bit, like really trying to win the prize, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that is to blame there is me getting head over heels for a person super, super quickly. And it definitely wasn't typically like my style, but you know what? I just went with it. And sometimes, you know, some things happen. So that was definitely, it was a learning experience, Laura. It was a learning experience.
Yeah. And I wasn't on board with it, but again, it's just I really couldn't tell you what to do.
I know. Everybody warned me, but you know, I had to see it for myself.
Let's get into the spark and intimacy part, despite the distance. Did you guys do anything like to maintain that spark and intimacy while you were away from each other or not?
Not really, to be honest. Okay. Maybe that could be something. But, you know, the intimacy was probably the only thing that was a constant. Like, that was what was really keeping us together, to be honest. So, but we also saw each other every couple of weeks, so.
All right. And did you want to give any quick tip to our listeners who might be in a long-distance relationship on maintaining the spark and intimacy?
My only tip for that one would be just make sure that you guys are on the same page, both romantically, sexually, sensually, because that is something you don't want to mess up while you're in the midst of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And use video. Yeah, use video.
Video is good too. Very good. It's all a right. Very good tool.
And long distance relationships certainly have their challenges, but they can also teach us valuable lessons and foster strong connections. So we're going to move on from this conversation. But before we move on, we're going to take a quick break. And stay tuned as we continue our conversation right after the break.
You're listening to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Dating and Relationship Show on 640 Toronto. I'm Laura Bellotta, your host, and we're here with my good friend, Josh. He's a luxury realtor in the GTA, and we're discussing the ever-changing dating landscape. And before the break, we were talking about long-distance relationships, all about them. I just have one more question about long-distance relationships for you. Were there any unexpected benefits of or positive aspects of being in a long-distance relationship that you discovered when you were in one? Because for me, it was like the time, like I just enjoyed having my own space. I really loved it because I was building a business and I just didn't have the time to dedicate to a full-time relationship. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that when you are marriage minded and you're looking to build a life, an empire with someone, a partnership, like a true partnership with someone, there's a lot of benefits to the long distance relationship. And for me, the number one thing is that you can pretty much figure out what the insecurities are within the relationship so much faster. I feel like everything is kind of sped up. You spend a lot of close quarters time with someone. Mm-hmm. Like we would spend 2 weeks straight together, like in the same exact hotel room or Airbnb or, you know, cruise ship or whatever it was. We figured
nice
things
life.
Out.
Thanks. Nice life.
I know, right?
This girl obviously didn't work.
It really didn't work.
This girl obviously didn't work. She didn't have a job.
The relationship didn't work. She didn't work. A whole lot of things didn't work. The only thing that was working was me, both financially and in the relationship. But that's a whole different thing. I'm just really glad that these things came to light sooner than later. That was the biggest thing, that the whole process is kind of sped up when you are long distance. You figure things out a lot quicker.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Now, Josh, you've mentioned to me, well, I've seen the attention that you get on Clubhouse. So Josh is my friend on Clubhouse. That's how I met him. And he helps run my rooms in Single in the City, in my club on there. And anybody wants to get on Clubhouse and join us, please send me an email, laura@singleinthecity.ca, and I will make sure to, to give you an invite. Now, Josh gets a lot of attention, and he's also mentioned to me that he receives a lot of attention from women as well, and he has a roster of women that he can call upon. Now, can you shed some light on the current dating scene and whether you think dating dynamics have shifted over time? Because I feel like traditional gender roles and expectations in dating have evolved. You know, there's this greater emphasis on equality, mutual respect, and shared responsibilities. And I feel that women express more of what they want now. And you can shed some more light into that. But I do. I feel like they tell you what they want. They make the first move more than not nowadays. And they also like making decisions. So what has your experience been like?
Yeah, well, this is a total hot take, Laura, because this is just my personal experience. But yeah. You know me. Listen, I feel like the first time I got shouted at by a woman that I took on a date because I offered so graciously and generously to pay for the meal, she yelled at me. She was offended. She was highly offended.
Really? How old was she though? Because you're not going to get that from Gen X's.
Right.
You're
right.
Not.
She was 28.
Okay. So she's a millennial. All right. Okay.
Yeah. She's definitely a millennial. Very millennial-esque the way that she approached the situation. She really, like I said, she was offended. She was raising her voice and she basically told me that I was acting as if we weren't in 2000 and whatever it was, 21, I think at the time, 2022. No, it was 2021. She was like, we're not even in 2021 in your mind, are we? And I was like, oh my God, she's coming for the low blows. She did not like that.
I guess she's not for you because I know you. And Josh is a complete gentleman. Like, he's just the type of guy that if he takes you out on a date, and he's in his early 30s. So if he takes you out on a date, he's paying for it. I know he is. Mm-hmm. If he's taking you, he's going to take you on the vacation. You're not taking him on a vacation. So right. How did that make you feel? And did that change your perspective at all?
It changed my perspective on her, but no, nothing else.
So you're going to continue to pay for first dates?
Yeah, there's nothing that would ever happen on a first date that would change who I am as a person and as a man, because for me, that's deeply ingrained in who I am as a person. That's not going to change because I have one, let's call it quote unquote negative experience with a woman who doesn't believe in, I guess, traditional gender roles. She thinks that now we should all be looked at as equal. So that's not my ideology. That's not the way that I live my life. And that's okay because we weren't a match, as you said.
Yeah, I don't understand that mentality, really. Ladies, why do you want to wear the pants?
I'm wondering the exact same thing.
I don't know. But anyways, I'm not here to, judge anybody or different strokes for different folks, right? So now, Josh, you also mentioned women throwing themselves at you, and I've seen them throw themselves at you. Do you think modern dating has made women as promiscuous as men?
It, quite possibly. Now with the Tinder culture, the online dating app culture, people feel like they can just have an unlimited supply of people. So, hey, if it doesn't work out with this person, I have 1,000 other people on the conveyor belt. Let's keep it pushing. Let's keep it moving. And yeah, I feel like that has had a huge part to play in it.
But do you feel that women are as promiscuous as men, though?
Some
Because
are.
you get a lot of women that you can just dial up and go, "Hey, come over."
Yeah,
I
yeah.
would never, like, that's just not my style. But I mean,
Yeah.
I just in
That
today's
is the
day and
yeah,
age,
that
like, are women doing that more and more?
they you know what? Definitely more now than they were like back in the day. Like the setup that I have in my life, I wish I had when I was like in high school or just after high school,
In high
because it was
school.
so hard. Yeah, when I was in like grade 12, grade 13, Laura, like I remember I did not think I was in a tr I wasn't like as confident as I am now. I don't feel like I was as good looking as I am now. So, and also I wasn't as refined as I am now. So I feel like back then it was so hard to get things going with someone, whether it's romantic or sexual, whereas now it's the exact opposite. I feel like now I have to kind of shoo them away. It's a whole different climate for me personally. So at this point, I would definitely say women can be, I don't want to overgeneralize, but they can be as promiscuous as men are for sure.
When I was in high school, I was so afraid of guys. I liked them, but when it came time to getting intimate, I was afraid. I remember, was it grade 9? I think some guy, he laid on top of me at a party, and all I could feel was something hard, and I freaked out. And it was like he was kind of pulsing into me. Well, we had clothes on, but I was so scared. I was so scared. I was a little timid, and that's what I don't understand. You hear about some women or some girls and getting pregnant at like 14 and young ages. I just don't understand it.
They wanted to check out that Tootsie Roll. And I guess fortunately for you, you were okay with not checking out the Tootsie Roll. I get it.
Yeah. And one more question before the break, really quickly. Have you encountered women who are in open relationships?
Actually, I got invited on a date with a girl who was in an open relationship, and she definitely was just a bundle of energy, and she wasn't honest about it, so that's where she went wrong with it.
And would you date someone in an open relationship?
No, I can't
Okay.
date someone who's dating someone else.
Me neither.
Right. I'm a Leo. I'm too greedy. I want you to be obsessed with me.
All right, I know, and I'm a Leo too. I'm the same way. If you're not obsessed with me, it's over. Okay, guys, we're gonna take another quick break. Stay tuned as we continue our conversation right after this.
Welcome back to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It's Sunday night. Welcome back to the Dating and Relationship Show on 640 Toronto. I'm Laura Bellotta, joined by my guest, my good friend, Josh Rooney. I'm just kidding. Josh Rowe. He's like, don't call me that. Although you keep calling me this, Laura, but what do you call me?
Bolita.
Bolita, sorry. But that's what I get for calling you Josh Rooney.
Right.
And we're chatting about the ups and downs of modern dating. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And before the break, we were mentioning how we were Leos and we need our partners to give us attention. They really do need to be obsessed with us. Katya, our technical producer, she's also a Leo. And what did you say, Katya?
I'm a Leo, but my boyfriend, he's a Pisces. So it's not, we're compatible. We make it work, but like our love styles are a little bit different.
But is he obsessed with you?
Absolutely.
Like, do you need that?
Yeah,
you need
absolutely. That, right? And when I was single before, like trying to find someone who was obsessed with me up to my standards, it was pretty hard.
Okay. Well, listen, I need to talk to you after the show. This whole like I'm not really compatible with him part, I'm not sure that flies with me, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay, Josh, let's chat about dates. Now, can you tell us what you enjoy doing on first dates? What are some of your favorite things to do? Or what is your favorite thing to do on a first date?
Interesting question. So I'm not a serial dater like that. I'm not one of those people that constantly goes on dates one after another. It takes a lot for me to take in a date. I can't lie. And when I do, I kind of go all out for it. So I like activity-based things. I'm not the typical, hey, like, let's grab drinks or let's go get some food or a coffee shop. Because for me, I want to see how you can roll with the punches, so to speak. And I know it's a lot to ask for a first date, but realistically, Laura, if you're on a first date with me, we already kind of know we know each other, right? We have a good basis for who each other are. And we know that we're probably going to vibe. We've had phone calls, we've had FaceTimes, whatever it is, right? So for me personally, I love activity-oriented dates. Like, let's, you know, go for a walk together. Let's go skating. Let's go rollerblading. Let's do an escape room. You know, something fun like that. Even a bowling alley. I like those Lucky Strike because it's kind of like bougie. I love that vibe.
I like activity dates too, Josh. I think that when you participate in an activity together, it can really reveal compatibility, your shared interests. You can observe them in a fun environment, see how they work as a team, and also gives you something to talk about, really. Like, I think an activity breaks the ice, too. It takes the pressure off and creates this opportunity for natural and more relaxed conversation. So I really like activity dates, but I'm not like you in terms of, you said that you really need to get to know someone. And I know this about you. I'm the opposite. I'm like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, I want to, if we're having conversations online, I mean, I have a partner now, but we're having conversations online. Like, I want to meet up with you within a week or two. I really do. I just want to know if that chemistry is there. But a casual date, please. Like a coffee. I'll do that. I'll do a drink. But I really like a walk, right? Grab a coffee, go for a walk, get to know someone. Of course, not in the woods. You don't know people. Please don't go into the woods with a stranger. Please.
Yeah, probably not advisable, right? Don't go into the woods with a stranger.
What are some of your favorite date spots in Toronto, though?
Oh, you know, I love a bunch of places. Dave and Buster's has slowly become my favorite.
Okay, talk about Dave and Buster's. Why is it so good for a first date?
Okay, for me personally, I love the variety, okay? So you walk in there, you could literally do anything. You could go for some food together, split some hors d'oeuvres, some starters. You could go get some drinks. Like, they have a full bar there now. It's like, they've got their own VR. I think it's a VR that they've got there at the Square One location. Downtown, they have it as well. They've got all the arcade games. There's so much variety there that you will just have an entire night full of fun. And there's no way that you're not getting to know that person, whether it's good or bad.
What a great, great, great idea, Josh. Thank you. Any others?
Yeah, I like going skating at Nathan Phillips Square. Obviously, that's seasonal, but that has been super fun as well, because I almost want to say the best part is if your date actually doesn't know how to skate that well, because now as a man, I get to take charge, lead, and almost show them how to teach them something. Same with Topgolf, mini putt, those are things that typically not everyone's like great at those things. You can teach them how to do that and take that kind of masculine role.
Yes. Okay. And any places, because you've taken myself and our friend Lindsay out for dinner a couple of times now at Luma in Toronto, but are there
Yes.
any other places or any restaurants that really stand out, maybe that you want to mention?
Yeah, I like Gusto. We went there recently. I took my brother and his girlfriend out there. It was so much fun. The vibes are immaculate. The food was fantastic.
Did you say
Everything is,
Gusto?
yeah, Gusto 101, I think it's called.
Okay.
Hopefully I've said that correctly.
Yes.
The other one I really like is Petit Cash. I really like Petit Cash at like King in Portland, I want to say downtown. That place is always a vibe. I feel like they've got DJs, so they've got dancing, they have, always like cool people. It's not hoity-toity, it's very chill, and people dress up, which I like because I like to dress up.
Perfect. Thank you for all those. Now, when you did mention that you only go out on a date with someone if you're really sure about them. Why is that? Like, because I'm different, right? I'm the opposite. And but why is it that you would only go out on a date with someone after getting to know them really well? Like, don't you just what if there is no connection after chatting for so many months? Like, what a waste of time.
Yeah, okay, so maybe I didn't like convey it completely properly on that one, Laura, but it's not a long process. We're talking like a week, 2 weeks tops.
What? Okay.
Yes. So basically
Okay.
my whole vetting process, Laura, is like, okay, number one, I have to be immensely attracted to you, like physically. That's number
Yes.
one. If
That's
I'm
every
not,
man,
I
every man,
probably,
every man.
right. If I'm not like overwhelmingly attracted to you, then realistically, you're not going on a date with me. I'm just so like, that's just the way I am, though. I can't help it. That's number one. And I'm talking about, I like a good face. I like a good face. I like a good face, Laura. And then number two is, you can't be crazy. Like, you can't be totally off your
Crazy, yeah.
right. You can't be crazy. I need to at least talk to you on the phone one time or get a voice note. As soon as
Okay.
I get a voice note or we get on a call and I can see how you like literally communicate with me in real time, that's all I need. As soon as I see that you seem sane, you got a good head on your shoulders, we're good to go. It's a date.
Okay, so if you can't see yourself having sex when you first meet her, it's a done deal, correct? Because I feel like women don't grow on men. That not looks wise,
Right.
most of the time. Am I correct?
Most of the time, yes. I think you're correct on that. I feel like for me personally, I've definitely, oh my God, do you know how many times, Laura, I've been on a like a date or a dating app where they're like, yeah, he's pretty good, and then they get to know my personality and like, why is he the hottest guy on the planet now when he was like a seven a few minutes ago, or like a six, like,
It's different for us than it is for you. That I do feel that, you know, I feel like if men can't see themselves having sex with the woman when they first encounter, then it's that attraction never really grows. I mean, okay, I mean not in every single situation, but in general, for the most part. Yeah, I'm right on that. Okay. Dating is fun, but to get there, you have to meet someone first. We'll be diving into this right after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Dating and Relationship Show with Laura Bellotta from singleinthecity.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
I'm having so much fun here tonight on the Dating and Relationship Show. You're listening to 640 Toronto because I have my friend Josh Rooney. No, his name really is not Josh Rooney. It's Josh Rose. He is a luxury realtor in the GTA, and we are discussing the impact of dating apps on the modern dating scene. Well, we're going to do that right now, actually. We haven't been discussing that. We've been discussing everything else about dating, though. All right. So, Josh, you mentioned that dating apps can give this false sense of options.
Yep,
When we spoke
absolutely.
last night, that's what you said. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, it has become a smorgasbord of like just options and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, an all-you-can-eat buffet of sorts, but with people, right? And you just like, okay, what flavor would I like today? Looks like I'm gonna go for a ginger. Oh, maybe I'll go for, a nice Latina girl or whatever it may be, right? So I feel like it's pick your flavor at this point, and people feel that from these apps, which may or may not be a good thing.
Yeah, and dating apps can make it seem like there are a ton of options to choose from, but you need to remember that not all of them are the right fit for you. So there, it's really not a smorgasbord because you can't just choose whomever you want. They have to
Right.
all choose you, and some of them aren't even really available. They look available, but they're not. I can't stand when people are just out to waste other people's time. Like, where they're just like, I'm just dipping my toes in here. You're basically dipping your toes in there to waste people's time. I'm just dipping my toes to see what's out there to see. No, you're not ready. So just don't put
Yeah.
yourself out there.
That was
And
my whole last relationship, Laura, was just a whole big waste of time. So I can totally see where you're coming from on that. Yep, it was a royal waste of time.
but wait a second, that's different because you actually had a relationship. So that relationship, Josh, wasn't really fully a waste of time. I'm sure it taught you some very powerful lessons, didn't
That's right. I'm partially joking on that. I mean, it really
it?
wasn't. It was a very valuable lesson to be learned, a very expensive lesson nonetheless. But that's beside the point. We're not going to go into that today, but or maybe we can. But
That's why you're not going to overly indulge, like overindulge, and because I do have a tendency to really spoil, but take time with that moving
Yeah,
forward.
I think that the most valuable lesson that I learned was probably don't make the first date a 10-day cruise to the Caribbean.
Probably not.
Probably not, right?
Probably not. Yeah. So
Lesson learned.
I think it's important to take your time, look beyond appearances. Because I'm sure that was one of the reasons why you got in trouble. You were so addicted to her look. I remember you telling me. And get to know someone on a deeper level before making really big decisions. And remember that quality is more important than quantity when it comes to finding a genuine connection. So, guys, please keep that in mind. Now, so this. Like I call it the paradox of choice. And we kind of talked about it a little bit last night, where people are always reluctant to make a choice because they think that something better is always going to be coming along, right? So, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think is a danger in that? When you're just like never focusing on one potential connection, you just keep like throwing everyone away and just like, okay, forget it. Like, I don't like that about them. I don't like that about them. I don't like that about them. And you just find faults in absolutely everybody, right? What is the potential like risk in doing that?
Well, the potential risk in doing that is exactly what I'm basically dealing with right now, which is, I have a laundry list of women that continuously throw themselves at me. Good looking women too. These are women that I actually find attractive, and they're fun to talk to, but I know that it just won't go any further than that on my end at least. And with the danger of that, I guess, or the repercussion of that is maybe it takes me a little bit longer, but like to find a connection, but I'm okay with that. And that's why I do that, why I'm comfortable doing that, because I love being within my own company. I like being alone. I like doing my thing. I have a beautiful life that I've created for myself, and I'm not in a
Yes, you
hurry to
do.
get anything done, you know?
And ladies, he's created a very beautiful life. Josh, you're an amazing guy. You're going to be an amazing husband for
Thank
some
you.
lady today. And he wants babies. Like he's 30, what, is it 31 or something?
Yeah, turning 31 in like 60 days.
Yeah. So I'll be posting him. So if anyone's, Okay, what have your experiences been like with dating apps in general? Like, do you like dating apps? Do you not like dating apps? Because people are constantly complaining to me, right? Like, I run a dating company, guys. Like, for those of you who don't know that, you're just listening in today, I run Single in the City. I host a ton of singles events, and I feel that meeting people in person is the way to go. Especially if you're burnt out with dating apps, you're not getting anywhere, get out and meet people face to face. It's the best. So what has your experience been like with dating apps? Like, do you like it? Do you not? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm a giant proponent of exactly what you said, Laura. You need to get out there and physically meet people. So I feel like in person, like exactly what you do at Single in the City, is that is the way to go. So just wanted to, you know, give you your props on that, because that is the way to go. My last three relationships have all come from in-person connection. None of them were built online. So I just wanted to say that as well. So I'm actually not a huge fan of the online dating. I'm not even on any online platforms anymore for dating at all. I don't have any apps. I get more than enough solicitations on Instagram, Clubhouse, and TikTok.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't, Josh. So for those people who don't get the attention that you
if you really aren't kind of creating any connections or any interest with people online, whether it's like, you know, your own social media platforms, then look to, you know, avenues like Single in the City. And if you really aren't creating that success there, then maybe try the online dating apps. There's no harm in trying them, right? There's nothing terrible about them, all the things they say about them, if you use it the right way. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'll give you guys a little bit of advice on how to use dating apps the right way. First, you have to set clear intentions. So before diving into dating apps, you have to take some time to really reflect on what you truly want. Well, who are you in the first place? And what you truly want and prioritize in a potential partner. So understand your own preferences, your values, your deal breakers. All these things are going to help you narrow down your choices and focus on those who really align with your goals and what you're looking for. And I feel like it's a wild, wild west online sometimes. People don't do that. They don't even know what they're looking for, what they want. Don't you agree, Josh?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people that are flippy floppy, flimsy people that they don't know exactly what they want. They're definitely just, they are bound to be time wasters. So it's good to kind of identify those things early on rather than after you've already met and invested some time, some money, some emotion into it.
Yeah. And you always have to trust your gut too. If something's telling you something's off, right? Like if your gut's telling you something's off, then believe your gut. Your gut really doesn't lie. So trust your instincts and look at the red flags too. Because they will present themselves and we tend to overlook them. But I mean, if somebody, you know, is looking for, let's just say you're swiping through, you see a profile, they're looking for a threesome or something. I mean, they're not looking for anything serious and you are. Well, don't entertain that person. Don't think that, they're so good looking, I'm going to change their mind. No, they're telling you they're not looking for anything serious. So believe them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like you go in with a nice set of kind of mental criteria. Okay, she needs to be Latina. She needs to have a really nice face. She has brown eyes, whatever. You go in with things that everybody has these things, right? So be really clear on those things. And when somebody tells you something, believe them, right? Like if they tell you, hey, like I just got out of a relationship, I'm just mending right now, I'm just healing, believe them. You're not going to change them.
Exactly. And why would you want to get into a relationship that's mending right now? Right. Also, take breaks, guys. Take breaks. I know, Josh, you're very good at taking breaks. Go slow. And please, guys, don't make it a full-time job, okay? You have a job. Just don't make it this, your dating apps a full-time job, or you will get burnt out. And if you do get burnt out, take a step back, right? Take a step back and then go in with new pictures and a new outlook. All right. That was it for today, Josh. Like, I mean, this was such a great show. I had so much fun with you and I really would love to have you on more often. I love the female male dynamic kind of thing. So where can people learn more about Josh?
I mean, they can definitely check me out on the gram. It's at Mr. Josh Rose, I believe. I just changed that name. That's pretty much it. Honestly, I don't want people following me on other things. Instagram is the place to be. You can interact with me there. And I look forward to being on the show again, Laura.
I look forward to having you. And guys, if you're single and you're looking to meet the love of your life, or you're looking to meet new people in the city of Toronto and also in the GTA area, visit singleinthecity.ca. If you want to connect with me, you can reach out to me at official Laura Bellotta on TikTok and on Instagram. And yeah, that's it, guys. So thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next week. Ciao for now.
Just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.